Okay, Matthew, if you'd like to identify yourself, please.
Yes, I'm Matthew James, a consultant in space education and policy and history. I reside in Canberra and am down here today to talk to Andrew about aspects of Australia's space history and policy.
Welcome to the Space Show, Matthew.
Thank you, Andrew. It's nice to be back in Melbourne and to see some old friends at the Space Association.
Yes, so nice to have you here.
Yeah.
There are quite a few developments happening in the field of spaceflight that are going to affect Australia in the very near future. Could you go through some of them for us, please, Matthew?
Well, why don't we start with launching into space. Cape York's still on the back burner, but there's still some interest up in Queensland and overseas to fund that project, so it hasn't disappeared entirely yet. And of course, over in South Australia, there's some very strong interest in getting Woomera reactivated through the use of the Southern Launch Vehicle proposal. And then considering what's in orbit, well, the communication satellites are very busy at the moment, new Intelsat capacity in this region, and some competing communication satellites will be coming in soon, such as AsiaSat-2, which will service Australia, unlike AsiaSat-1. We see the new Australian TV service going to Asia through Palapa, and Pan AmSat and TongaSat are still there in the background and likely to serve Australia in the next year or so. And we're still very active, of course, in remote sensing and some of the other applications. And here in Australia now, we've seen the formation of the new Space Council to oversee our space programs, taking over from the Space Board and the Space Office, which are located within the Department of Industry, Technology and Commerce. And the new council will hopefully set some new directions and some money, that's what we need, to allow further programs to be developed in Australia.
Well, let's go into the Space Council. What exactly has it replaced?
Well, the Australian Space Board was established back in 86-87 as a consequence of the Madigan inquiry into space in Australia, and that had some leading lights involved with space activity in Australia, looking after the funds, which have sort of been around the $5-6 million mark per year, and they allocated those funds towards projects such as the Endeavour telescope, which went up in early 92, and the along-track scanning radiometer of the ERS-1 project of the Europeans, and various other projects that have involved Australia, admittedly to a fairly small degree in the international space effort, but nonetheless allowing us to develop some projects that improves our capabilities to go on into the future. And now, after a review of that space program overseen by the board, we now have as a recommendation the establishment of the Space Council and some administrative changes. And I might also, of course, mention that they oversee the operation of the NASA tracking stations in Australia, principally, of course, at Tidbinbilla with the Deep Space Facility there.
So, basically, if anyone wants to get a space project up and running now, they'll go to this new Space Council.
Yes, that's pretty much the ball game now. Although, of course, there are other agencies such as the CSIRO and its Office of Space Science and Applications, and funding through the Research Grants Scheme for University and other academics, which are also pursued by different people.
And has the government given any guarantee of funding at all for this?
Yes, there is a degree of funding, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see how things fathom out, especially with the new Keating administration coming in. And once things settle down, I think we'll have a better idea of just how much money will be there.
Okay, well, let's go back to the idea of a spaceport. You know, it's been pretty much a sort of a dead duck for the last year or two, but there is still some project prospect that might go ahead.
Yes, it seems now there's two competing firms involved, the Spaceport Australia Group, the Space Transportation Group, backed by the former Premier of Queensland, Mike Ahern. And now there's another group that's come forward with some international backing that has expressed interest, but it's still very preliminary at this stage. And As far as the Space Office was concerned, late last year, some funding had to be guaranteed very soon, or the window of opportunity for launching satellites from Cape York would have passed by. So clearly, either one of the two consortia will have to get their act together pretty soon, because if we're going to build a spaceport, it clearly will take some time, and the window of opportunity starts about 1995 for a few years, and we really have to get busy by then, otherwise it won't be viable.
And will that decision be primarily a commercial one, or will it be based on government decisions, you know, perhaps political ones?
Well, the federal government has always indicated that it would not provide direct funding for the spaceport, that the project would have to be commercially viable on its own, and hence the funding that is sought is essentially from international commercial finance sources. So that's still the case as far as I'm aware.
And turning now to Woomera, I was down there last year and I was rather shocked at the sorry state of the old Europa launch pads. But I understand there's a plan to refurbish those, to at least one of them, to renew it and launch an Australian rocket from there.
Yes, there has been a fair bit of talk about the Southern Launch Vehicle project, which is a hybrid rocket proposal to launch small satellites in the micro-satellite area, and utilising the existing facilities at Woomera. And certainly there's a basic infrastructure out there in terms of control facility and blockhouses and an existing small sounding rocket capability. The Southern Launch Vehicle itself would be somewhat larger in size and would require a bigger launch apron, but nonetheless the whole range is there and then the instrumentation, and it's certainly been looked into and regarded as a feasible proposition. One aspect of Woomera that's perhaps still overlooked is the heritage that it represents and some of the historic missions that occurred there, such as Australia's first satellite RESAT, launched in 1967, and the UK Prospero satellite, launched in 1971. And apparently there's no sort of plaques or any way of identifying what went on there, and I guess it's up to those of us living now to make sure that that heritage is recorded in some way, be it by monument or otherwise. There is, of course, a heritage centre out of Woomera with a collection of some of the rockets that were launched there, but I think much more needs to be done in that respect.
And who should take the lead in that? Private individuals, or perhaps the people living in Woomera now, or the government, or another museum?
Well, probably all of those, and those that are interested, because it's up to us who've recognised the problem to tell others about it and encourage people to do something about it. And some push has been made to a limited extent, but I think a great deal more could be done.
What about the new communication services that are available, or will be available very shortly?
You're referring to what, low Earth orbit satellites?
And also the things like Tongasat and geostationary orbit. We've mentioned them already. What exactly are they?
Right, well, there's various schemes put forward for low Earth orbiting satellites which will enable people on the ground or wherever they're located to contact people around the globe wherever they are located. And some of the names are Iridium and Globalstar, Inmarsat Project 21, and Odyssey, etc. There's a lot of proposals around at the moment. It remains to be seen the next year or so just what's going to come forward from these overseas projects. And then there's direct broadcasting proposals which will affect Australia. Several are well on the drawing boards at this stage and will involve either radio or TV services. And, of course, our own Optus is busy with its own mobile satellite communication system, MobileSat, which has sprung off from the OSSAT Series 2 that are up there now. So there's a variety of systems, and standards have yet to be really worked out, and we're just not quite sure which system will dominate. So I guess time will tell.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening on the Space Show, Matthew.
Thank you, Andrew. It's been a pleasure.